ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, Text Number 37. Santa Samadisha Shuddha Sava Bhutan Niranjana Yanjanja Satchutapadam Achuta Priya Bhandava Santa Samadusha Shuddha Sava Bhutan Niranjana Yanjanja Satchutapadam Achuta Priya Bandava. Ladies, others. Santa, peaceful, Samadrisha, equipoised, Shuddha, cleansed, purified, Sarva, all, Bhuta, living entities, Anuranjana, pleasing, Yanti, go, Anjasa, easily, Achuta, of the Lord, Padam, to the abode, Achuta Priya, with devotees of the Lord, Bandavaha, friends. Translation, persons who are peaceful, equipoised, cleansed and purified, and who know the art of pleasing all other living entities, keep friendship only with the devotees of the Lord, they alone can very easily achieve the perfection of going back home, back to Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The description of this verse fully indicates that only devotees are eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. The first point stated is that devotees are peaceful, for they have no demands for their personal sense gratification. They are simply dedicated to the service of the Lord. Karmis cannot be peaceful because they have immense demands for sense gratification. As for Jnanis, they cannot be peaceful because they are too busy trying to attain liberation or merge into the existence of the Supreme. Similarly, yogis are also restless to get mystic power. But a devotee is peaceful because he is fully surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thinks of himself as completely helpless. Just as a child feels complete peace in depending on the parent, so a devotee is completely peaceful, for he depends on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee is equipoised. He sees everyone on the same transcendental platform. A devotee knows that although a conditioned soul has a particular type of body, according to his past fruit of activities, factually, everyone is part of the Supreme Lord. A devotee sees all living entities with spiritual vision and does not discriminate on the platform of the bodily concept of life. Such qualities develop only in the association of devotees. Without the association of devotees, one cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Factually, whoever lives in this society automatically develops Krishna consciousness. Devotees are dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only dear to devotees. On this platform only can one make progress in Krishna consciousness. Persons in Krishna consciousness, or devotees of the Lord, can please everyone, as is evident in the Krishna consciousness movement. We invite everyone without discrimination. We request everyone to sit down and chant the Hare Krishna mantra and take as much prasad as we can supply, and thus everyone is pleased with us. This is the qualification. Sarva Bhutanu Ranjana. As for purification, no one can be more pure than devotees. Anyone who once utters the name of Vishnu immediately becomes purified inside and outside. Yasmeret Pundarika Ksham. Since a devotee constantly chants the Hare Krishna mantra, no contamination of the material world can touch him. He is therefore actually purified. Muchihaya Shuchihaya Yadi Krishna Bhaji. It is said that even a cobbler, do you know what a cobbler is? Yeah? They cobblers, what's a cobbler?
He makes shoes.
He makes shoes. But why are they considered muchi? Or unclean? Because traditionally, a cobbler, they would have to get the skin cut off the animals. See? So they cut the skin. It's very hard to cut the skin. A lot of blood. You know, so it's a very unclean, you know, they have to deal with that skin of the animal. So therefore, it's a very moochy business. Yeah. So when I was on the farm, sometimes when the animals would die naturally, then I would skin them. I tried to save the skin so I could use it, you know, in different things. It's actually very handy, leather. You know, you can use leather for a lot of things. And, especially, you know, sometimes ropes and things out in, when you need to tie something, ropes outside, they tend to deteriorate with the sun and everything. But leather, it would just be there for, you know, 100 years, and it's very pliable, very tough, very pliable. But every time I got one of the cows and skinned it, it was not easy, especially when you got to turn it over. the foxes would come and steal the skin away because I used to put it outside and it'd dry it. So I think some other people took them as well. So I never ever got one, but I used to do that. But you know, that's why cobblers generally are considered moochy, because you know they're using the skin of animals, especially if they have to get that skin themselves. So I said here that even a cobbler, so I'm a cobbler, or a person born in the family of a cobbler, that's me, can be elevated to the position of a brahmana, suci, if he takes to Krishna consciousness. So I learned to skin a cow because that's my father taught me how to do that. So, son of a cobbler. But here it's saying that it is said that even a cobbler or a person born in the family of a cobbler can be elevated to the position of a brahmana, suci, if he takes to Krishna consciousness. So therefore I must be living proof. Any person who is purely Krishna conscious and who engages in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is the purest in the whole universe. So, you know, this is one time in 1969, Srila Prabhupada was in Hawaii, and he was asked a question that, you know, it's a, you know, bit of a challenge. You know, is this Hare Krishna the only way or the best way that, you know, for successful living? You know, sort of. You know, there are so many ways. You know, so you're presenting this Hare Krishna movement, but you know, there are so many things we can, you know, there's an underlying sort of challenge there. So Srila Prabhupada's response was that he said, you know, you can see practically that in this Krishna consciousness movement, and this is 1969, so Srila Prabhupada's movement, because it was only going for about 4 years, but already, just instant results Prabhupada was getting, that he said, you know, these boys and girls, they're not taking drugs, because 1969, you try and find someone. And it wasn't just the hippies. You know, quite often the hippies get the blame. But actually, if you know the historical, you know all the movie stars, politicians, you know, they'd been, people have been in America and what have you, been taking drugs since the 50s, since after the war, actually. A lot of drug taking, you know. The swinging generation, they call them, in the 50s. And, you know, there was a lot of drug take. Actually, you go right back to the 1920s. They were having all sorts of cocaine and things like that. If you look, you know, people in high society even, you know, and they'd have their little snuff box amongst the, you know, the little snuff. It was sort of supposed to be medicinal, but they were all taking cocaine and so many different things. But still, Prabhupada said none of these boys and girls are taking, you know, intoxication. And of course, you know, apart from the hippies who were doing, you know, perhaps they were experimenting quite wildly with a lot of LSD and marijuana and things. But, you know, generally in society, everyone's taking intoxicants. Everyone is getting intoxicated with alcohol and smoking cigarettes, you know, it's very fashionable. And actually today, the most deaths, illnesses and psychological problems and addictions to drugs come from the drugs that you get from the chemist. That the majority of the housewives and people who are, you know, working, just middle class, average person, they are considered the biggest and worst drug takers out of everyone. and they have more problems practically than even people who are taking other, you know, drugs which are highly, you know, controversial, what have you. So, you know, they're all sort of, Prabhupada's saying is that they're all taking intoxication. And Srila Prabhupada saying, you know, you should see practically, none of these boys and girls are taking drugs. None of them are gambling. Crazy people, you know, hanging around the hotels and, you know. They're not chasing, you know, illicit sex. They're happily married. They're living in their homes, you know, with their wives and their children. You know, they're not killing animals. You know, they're peaceful to all living entities. They see all living entities, you know, equally. They're not causing distress to anyone. They're always happy. They're always joyful. Their minds and senses are fully controlled. He says, what is the problem with that? You know, what is the problem with that? He said, if everyone in the world will become like them, what is the problem with that? Well, you imagine everyone in the world becomes like a Hare Krishna and they give up their drugs and they don't want to cause, you know, trouble to other living entities. They don't, you know, they're peaceful. You know, their minds and senses control. Srila Prabhupada, actually in that same conversation, he said that, you know, what is the result of Krishna consciousness? The result of Krishna consciousness is that a person becomes a sane person. You know? They just become a nice person with good character, control of the mind and senses, and you know, just very sane means that they act appropriately with people, other living entities, with the planet, with the environment. You know, from people from all different backgrounds, all different races, all living entities, they just act very appropriately in all circumstances. They're very so they're very sane people. That's the result of Krishna consciousness. You become sane. So. Here, Srila Prabhupada actually, he says it here in this purport that he says, persons in Krishna consciousness or devotees of the Lord can please everyone, as is evident in the Krishna consciousness movement. And we invite everyone without discrimination. And we request everyone to sit down and chant Hare Krishna mantra and take as much prasad as we can supply, and thus everyone is pleased with us. So, you know, that is these are the activities of the devotees. And Srila Prabhupada says, without the association of devotees, one cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And factually, whoever lives in this society for Krishna consciousness, whoever lives in this society automatically develops Krishna consciousness. So, you know, this Krishna consciousness movement that Srila Prabhupada has established, anyone who takes advantage of it, they become sane, they become a very nice person of good character and good behaviour and intelligent and responsible. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, he said that, he actually said this a few times in different places, you know, because he understood, you know, what sort of magic, you know, you know presenting to these boys and girls, you know, because even the leaders of different religious organisations, they're noticing and they're saying and they're writing in you know, letters and that. These are our boys and girls. They were coming to our Christian churches and our mosques, you know, but they should have been, but they have no interest. But they're all going to him. They're all going to Srila Prabhupada. So, you know, what is, you know, he's enticing them somehow, you know. Like, what is he doing? He's showing some magic. And Prabhupada would say, he said, you know, I'm just a poor, one time he said, I'm just a poor Indian. You know, of course, Prabhupada was a Vaikuntha man from the spiritual world. But he, you know, he would often say, I'm just a poor man. He said, I came to America with $7. So I have no money to bribe these people. Is it practically, you know, I have no real means of looking after them like that. You know, I came here with $7. That was it. I have no magic. You know, I'm not doing anything. But they're chasing me because they want this Krishna consciousness. That's it. Because it works. Because practically they're chasing. Or we want, you know, Prabhupada has this Krishna consciousness, and you take that Krishna consciousness and your life becomes wonderful. And that. So this is the Hare Krishna movement. And by here, it actually describes that when you become Krishna conscious, you get all these wonderful qualities, like, you know, become peaceful, equipoised, cleansed and purified. And in the association of devotees or in the Krishna consciousness movement, one develops those different qualities, and that makes one fit to go back to Godhead. So we actually don't see anywhere else where such an effect on such a scale is so easily achieved. You know, there's nowhere in this world. You can't compare ISKCON to anything else in this world. There's no political movement. There's no social welfare program. There's no religious organization that actually has even a fraction of the powerful effect in purifying people that what you see in the Krishna consciousness movement. And as Prabhupada's saying, actually, if you don't associate with the devotees, you can't get this effect. And what we see is those who associate with Krishna consciousness, they actually get this effect of becoming, you know, very nice, you know, ladies and gentlemen of proper character and pure-hearted. And those who don't associate with the Krishna consciousness movement, they're not getting that effect, no matter what they do. They cannot get peace. Either individually or internationally. Srila Prabhupada points out, you have the United Nations. Now, you know, they've been going since, what, the 50s or something, even earlier. Where's the peace? And he says, you know what, Prabhupada says, how can they get peace? Because, you know, one of the first lessons you learn from in the Krishna consciousness movement, under the Krishna, the original guru, coming down through the parampara, through Srila Prabhupada, is that there's no question of peace without Krishna consciousness. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, it describes that if we're not God conscious, you cannot control the mind and senses. See, because then the mind and senses, they want engagement, and they'll engage with the material world. So the eyes will want something beautiful to see, and you know the tongue will want something to taste in this material world, and the senses will be dragged here and there in the material world. And even very elevated persons, they cannot control the senses, the mind and senses. You know, being in a material body in this world, the mind and senses will be dragged forcefully. And we see this throughout the whole history of the world. Even the greatest of persons and sometimes great yogis, if their minds, if they don't have that higher spiritual taste, a very powerful enjoyment and happiness within, they must seek happiness within the material world. So Krishna consciousness or God consciousness, that connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the all-attractive one, and the devotees, and spiritual life and spiritual activities makes one very joyful. And that inner happiness allows one's mind and senses to be completely controlled. If one's mind and senses are controlled, one can be peaceful. Otherwise, without, there is no possibility of peace if the mind and senses are not controlled. It will never happen. And here, Prabhupada describes whether one is a kami, a jnani, or a yogi, their mind and senses are chasing something forcefully. There's no peace. Only a devotee can be peaceful. They don't want anything, not even liberation. And if there's no peace, the Bhagavad Gita says, then how can you be happy? So without Krishna consciousness, there's no question of peace, there's no question of happiness, either individually or nationally. So these, and this, Srila Prabhupada says, when they go to the United Nations, because they're not Krishna consciousness, everything is done on the bodily platform. Now, Krishna consciousness means spiritual consciousness. And spiritual consciousness begins to understand that I am not this body, I'm a spirit soul. That is the beginning of spiritual consciousness. That's the first instruction. Arjun, in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, he spoke to Krishna so many considerations why he should not serve Krishna based upon the bodily platform, and Krishna, and there was no resolution. And Arjun understood, we're having these friendly talks. Krishna is speaking to me about my kshatriya duties, and I'm speaking to him about morality, and we're getting nowhere. So I surrender unto you, Krishna, because I actually need a resolution to this problem. And unless I accept you as guru, one who gives spiritual instructions, you know, just talking amongst each other in a friendly way is not going to, you know, get us anywhere. So Arjun surrendered to Krishna and accepted him to give instruction, shiksha. So he becomes shishya, or, you know, one who he heard spiritual instructions. And the first instruction from Krishna is that, you know, he was chastised by Krishna, actually. He said, Arjun, you're speaking like a learned person. So many people speak, you know, in a learned way on so many different subjects. But he said, but those who speak and their knowledge is based upon the bodily platform of life, they're actually fools. You're speaking like a learned person, but you're speaking about that which fools talk about. And actually, every single program for peace and happiness and purification and, you know, helping, you know, to take away the suffering, the misery, the problems of life, everything in this world is based upon the bodily platform. Even religious principles, people are following religious principles based upon their identity, that let me, in this material body, be happy in this world, and they're praying, trying to develop a relationship. It's said that Stalin, this is a very interesting point, Stalin was a communist, didn't believe in God. But, you know, during the war, I think it was the Second World War, during the war, at one point, the Germans were on the way to invade Moscow, and they were going to wipe out, you know, Russia. Everything would have been destroyed, and he saw no way to stop them. You know, he couldn't see that his present army and the people could stop them. So what he did was, there's one very famous church, and there's this statue of she's like the angel of you know, for protection. So one of the angels of God, But she had a history of protecting the people in that Russian place. So he went there and he got that angel, and they put her in a plane and they flew in the plane about 30 times around Moscow. And they actually, the Germans couldn't defeat them. And he attributed it to that, this Stalin. See? And so after that, previously before that, they were trying to remove all the churches in Russia. They wouldn't tolerate it. And after that, he allowed them to exist side by side. Although they didn't accept religion, but he understood there's something there. Let the people have it. So he. But, you know, the religious principles based upon, you know, I was born in this country, I am Russian, I am this body, protect Russia, you know, protect my body, like that. Everything going on in this world is based upon the bodily platform of life. It's all foolishness. Prabhupada says, so therefore if you take that calculation, you won't see, practically throughout the whole world, you won't find anyone who has knowledge. Because the very first principle of knowledge is I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul. So that spiritual understanding, unless that's there, everyone is doing so many foolish things. So they go to the United Nations, and what do? They go there and they think, we have come to the United Nations for peace, but I'm in the bodily platform of life, so I think I'm a Russian, and therefore I've come to look after the interests of Russia. We want peace, but my actual interest is Russia. Because I'm. And then the Americans. I'm born an American. We want peace, but my actual interest is American. You know, peace for America. And, you know, and Iran and Iraq and China, they're all in the bodily concept, they're all wanting peace, and they're thinking of their bodily interests. And there'll be no peace. Because they look at you are different from me. You're different. You're Russian. I'm Chinese. This one is American. This one is that. So, you know, therefore, there's no peace. Here, there can only be peace when one is, here's described equipoise. And Prabhupada describes equipoise that they see all living entities equally. Here is the Son of God, here is a child of God, here is a child of God. Everyone, every living entity, right down to the little ants. They're all, you know, everyone is the child of the Supreme Person of Godhead. I'm a spirit soul. Krishna consciousness means that I'm a spirit soul. I'm a little part and parcel of the Lord's spiritual energy. Therefore, you know, he is my Supreme Father and he is the Father of all living entities. So I look at them all equally. We all, you know, there's no difference. We are actually all brothers and sisters. And we're all meant to reside happily, eventually, in the spiritual world, together, in our eternal spiritual form. Then that's equipoise. Then one can become peaceful because, you know, we don't create enemies. Therefore there's no fear. We don't become jealous of others. We want to share with them as we share with our brothers, we share with our family. You know, when people have a family, they want to just share everything. You know, they have a house, let's all live here. People don't get a house and they say, you know, the parents get a house and they say, well, we don't want the kids here. Just move the kids out, they're too noisy. They're too messy. They won't eat what we cook. I will live here by ourselves. They can go somewhere else. No, you know, even if there's some difficulty, let's share this, you know, this house and everything. You know, let's share everything. The whole family can share. In Krishna consciousness, you see everyone is the family. Everyone in the world, we all got the same father, Krishna. We're all, you know, all brothers and sisters. So therefore, equipoise. You know, there's no need to squabble and fight and be jealous and envy like that. So they're peaceful, equipoise, and purified. That you know, this verse Srila Prabhupada quotes: "Om pavitra pavitra va sarva vastu gatopi va yasmeret pundarikaksham sabhyabhyantara suci." that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, this is one of the features in the Krishna consciousness movement, which comes from Krishna himself, that you'll not find that appreciation for the purifying effect of the holy name, that is not understood, even in religious organizations. Many religious organizations, they refuse to acknowledge that God even has a name, or if he has a name, it shouldn't be spoken. Don't speak the name of God in vain. But actually, in vain means that you're taking the name of God in a useless way, with disrespect for the personality of Godhead. But that's different from chanting the holy name of the Lord with love for the purpose of fulfilling the Lord's wish that we get out of the material world and go back to the spiritual world and enjoy loving pastimes with the Lord eternally. That's not in vain. There's nothing vain, saying. So the name, Srila Prabhupada would say, we can give you God's name. We can give you his address. we can tell you where he lives. And of course here in the Bhagavatam is describing that, by chanting the holy names of the Lord, one becomes completely purified. Purified means that we're free from the contamination of the material energy, not affected. Just like, just like for health. So, we're in the middle of, the flu season. People get a flu, very, very serious. So they have the inoculation and whatever they call it, another word for it. Inoculation? How'd it do? There's another one. The jab. Vaccination. Thanks. So what that means is that person should not be affected by the illness. A lot of illness going around. In New South Wales, yesterday they closed down a whole school because 200 children got the flu in the one school. You see? So, but then, one of the problems is they ran out of the vaccine for some time, but the idea is that, it is purification means that, okay, this person is protected from illness. They'll not get ill. That's what the meaning of purification is. Those devotees who take up the practice of Krishna consciousness, they'll not be affected by the material contamination. They'll not think that they're the material body and act like fools in this world and do all sorts of useless things and suffer in the cycle of birth and death. Purification means they'll not be affected by illusion and forgetfulness of their God consciousness, forget the purpose of life. Purification means they understand, I'm not this body, I'm the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord, I remain, my mind and my senses, my words are only meant for the service of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, there's no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, all of these things. Purification means one lives on that platform. And that is available for anyone if they just chant the holy names of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada says, of course, apart from chanting the holy name of the Lord, we also have so many books. So, if you want to check your advancement, then these books are here. So just like here today, like a medical book, if you read a medical book, say if you get jaundice, and you get jaundice and, your skin goes yellowy, and sweet things taste very bitter. So then you're taking the medicine. You're wondering, how do I know if I'm going to get ill, better? So you'll see. The symptoms are that the yellow colour will go, you'll be able to taste sweet things again, and like that. Here, how do you know you're making advancement in Krishna consciousness? It's telling. Can you see you're becoming peaceful? Can you see becoming purified, that you're, you know, more attracted to following the regular principles and breaking them? You're more attracted to chanting the holy name of the Lord. Things that taste are very bitter. You know, sometimes, you know, when I do, even do a ceremony for people, they come here to do a hair cutting for the children. And, you know, if I'm 10 minutes late or 15, it does happen sometimes. You know, they ring me. They ring me every 2 minutes. And I'm thinking, is it so hard for you to spend 15 minutes in the temple? You're supposed to be, you know, you must have some more religious sentiments than that. The deities are open. I say to them, oh, sit in the temple room. No, that's okay. We'll wait outside. I'm thinking, you know, there is no taste, you know. And then 2 minutes later, they'll ring me again. You hear, yeah, I'm just parking the car. And they'll ring me then after, between parking the car. I'm thinking, you have no taste. You're at a temple. You know, where do you have to race up to, you know, like in 15 minutes? And then after the ceremony, you know, they don't have to go anywhere. They just literally, I say, you got an appointment? No. I was going home. You know, home, that's where the attachment is. That's where the taste is. So, but, you know, how do we know we're making advancement? We have a taste. I love to go to the temple. You know, if I'm within, you know, a 30-mile radius, I'll come here. I remember Jaipataka Maharaj, you know, one time, he'd stopped in Melbourne at the airport and he was flying to New Zealand or something, and he had about 2 hours. Right? Now, obviously he's, you know, flying all over the world, you know, okay, let's have a little rest in the airport and just relax. Oh no, I'm so close to the Melbourne Temple. And he came. He made the effort. I've got to go and see Radhavala. I can't be this close and not see the deities and the devotees. Like that. And get a little, you know, Melbourne prasad. And he came here. And strange enough, on that day, I just brought Varuni, my youngest daughter, home from the hospital. And so she was about 10 days old or something. And we found out Jaipataka Maharaj was here. We went and saw him and said, oh, can you give a little blessing? And he gave a little blessing and like that, you know. And she touched his feet. So she offered her obeisances, put her head on his lotus feet, you know that. And then, you know, basically, you know, after 20 minutes he was gone. And, so, but, you know, it's that strong, you know, like, and here people are coming to the temple, but, you know, oh, 15 minutes, you know, you've made me wait at the temple for 15 minutes, you know, what am I going to do? You know, look, sit and, you know, read the Gita, chant Hare Krishna, you know, talk to the devotees. Oh, God, I'm going out of my head, you know, 15 minutes, another minute going past. So you know when you're making advancement. You don't need a certificate, Prabhupada says. So here are these qualities, but only in the association of devotees you'll see this. You won't see this anywhere else. So, and in this way, devotees are being, you know, what we practice here in the temple, of course, Prabhupada says, very easy. You can do everything we do here, you can do at home, if, you know, for those who live at home, or it's very easily done here. Hare Krishna. And basically, what we do here, this practice, is for what we naturally have eternally done, but we've forgotten. So that's why it's so easy, because it's natural. Prabhupada says that's why the practice of Krishna consciousness is easy, because it's actually natural. We just, you know, we eternally love God and serve Him. We've forgotten that, and then a little practice, and again, it just comes out, the purification. And, of course, you know, we can understand that, you know, at the beginning we were singing Jai Radha Madhava and, you know, talking about Kunji Bihari and Jamuna Leela. And, you know, as I was singing that, because I was thinking this verse, I was thinking, you know, one day I'll be able to go back to Godhead and go exactly there about, you know, we're singing about Jai Radha Madhava. I'll be able to go there and be with Jai Radha Madhava and all the Brajavasis and, you know, on the banks of the Jamuna. And I was thinking, you know, currently I wouldn't dare go there. You know, who's this rascal? What are you doing here? You know, and, you know, who's this person with all these bad qualities and, independent act, activities and like that from Krishna. And I'm thinking, you know, I just wouldn't fit there currently, you know. But I'm practicing, as we all are, that one day I will fit in the spiritual world. Like that. And of course, you know, this is... but, you know, you can't go somewhere where you don't fit in. You know, even if you wanted to, you know, visit, say, you know, the royal family in England. You know, even very great politicians who get trained up before they visit the Queen make big blunders. They don't fit in. You know, one time one of our politicians, he sort of put his hand on the back of the Queen. You know, you don't touch the Queen. You know, without her permission. Another politician took a hand to help it down the stairs. You don't do that. Unless the Queen offers her hand, you don't just grab it. You know? You don't walk up to Krishna, just grab his hand, you know. Of course, he's very kind. You know, if you have a very friendly relationship, he'll do that. But otherwise, you know, we don't just sort of walk onto the, you know, we practice here. You don't just, you know, walk onto the altar. Yeah, we can open up the doors. You see that. You open up the door, no one goes in. It's practice. Because God is there. We don't just, you know, little babies do. Little children do. Animals do, so we don't let the animals in. But, you know... There's, we're actually practicing that one day we'll have that such, there is such respect within our love, you know. Radharani, it's not the respect of awe and reverence, but it's the respect of this is my most lovable object. It's that respect. It's not awe and reverence, oh, here's God. This is the person I love, you know, with to the very core of my heart. It's that sort of respect. Therefore, it's said that Srimati Radharani never turns her back on Krishna. Not because he's God, but because she loves him. You don't do that to someone, you know, you love. Even an ordinary friend, you don't do that. Turn your back. So here we practice through the spiritual master with the other devotees. So we actually learn that proper etiquette through other devotees as well. That here is a very nice someone who's very dear to Krishna. I treat that person very nicely because Krishna loves that devotee. They're giving them so much intelligence, Krishna consciousness, so much ability. So very, very careful because I don't want to offend Krishna. Krishna's obviously, treating these devotees. All the devotees are like gems being held in the hand of Krishna. That's how we're supposed to treat each and every devotee. So we practice. And by that practice, we're actually practicing to fit in the spiritual world. And we can judge, you know, we can't get along with each other. And, you know, we sort of muck up here. We know, I'm still going to muck up in the spiritual world. So I'm not fit to go back yet. When our activities, I can, you know, you can think, I can be in the temple every day, all day, and talk to any devotee and they'll all be pleased with me. Well, you're ready to go back to the spiritual world. Okay. So, it's not by one's ashram, or I've taken sannyas, not by one's position, not by this, not by scholarship, not the one can rattle off 100 slokas. You know, when one has the proper love and etiquette, and the nice qualities, then the Krishna consciousness is in there and we know, yes, I'm improving and I can see I'm improving in such a way that I might just dare to dream of going back to the spiritual world by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Hare Krishna. I just leave it there. If anyone has any questions or comments. Probably run out of time. All good? Jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Go to Pramananda.